Blog Talk Radio.
So we've never done this on Teeing It Up. This is Teeing It Up. I'm Jeremy Schilling. We're live from the studios in the swamps of Jersey. This is May 23rd, Monday night. Luke Morrow is going to be our guest, voice of the Daytona Tortugas. And we finished the interview. We pressed the stop button, and Luke informed me of something that I think is so fascinating that we should put it on air. Luke, tell me what you just told me off the air.
Well, Wednesday morning, 2 days from now, I'll be officiating a wedding here at our ballpark, at Jackie Robinson Ballpark. So I'll be marrying two people here on the field Wednesday morning and uniting them in holy matrimony.
We have talked about you becoming ordained previously. What I'm fascinated by is why the ballpark? Why do they want to get married at a baseball stadium?
You know, I don't even know. They went through our community relations person. I know the male is from Daytona. I'm not even sure if he's like a big Tortuga fan or anything, but he's from the town, and they're both athletes, so they thought that this would work well, and they were struggling to find a minister, and so I had really half-jokingly volunteered to the community relations director for our organization, saying, you know, if they need somebody, I'm ordained. What's better than getting married by the voice of the team and the ballpark of the team? But I was joking. And yet, you know, they struggled to find someone, and they followed up and said, you know, if he's going to do it, we would love that. So I've been in contact with the couple planning out the ceremony and looking forward to doing it here Wednesday morning.
How nervous are you?
You know, I'm all right now. I think I honestly think I'm going to have trouble sleeping tomorrow night. Because it's going into Wednesday morning for this ceremony, because it's one thing if it's two friends, you know, people I know and people I have history with and even know of the relationship. But these are two complete strangers that I hardly know anything about, and so I have to come up with a proper ceremony that will suit them, and then also their guests, which I have no idea. You know, I don't know any of their guests that are going to be here in the outfield watching, so So it puts a little more pressure on me, I suppose, and therefore makes me a little nervous to make sure that I do the proper job on these two, their most special day of their lives.
That's, wow, what an honor. What a moment.
yeah, you know, that's the whole reason why I got ordained in the first place, just have the ability to be able to wed two people, because I think that is, you know, powerful and a pretty cool thing to be able to do.
Good stuff. Luke Morrow, we will have the rest of your interview in 30 seconds. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
Back live on Teeing It Up. I said to Luke after we got off the air, I said, you know, don't mess up. It's only the biggest moment in somebody's life. So we will see how that goes for him. It is a big spot, and you got to be ready and calm and collected, because you don't know how the couple will be. You don't know what the family will be like, the guests. Will you have a crying baby to deal with? Will you have very attentive people? But a life cycle event will occur in the outfield, which is very unique, and it's not something that you see a lot minor league ballparks around the country, so it's something unique for the Daytona Tortugas. We will have the rest of our conversation with Luke momentarily. We had an interesting day in golf yesterday. Sergio Garcia wins at the AT&T Byron Nelson, as Jordan Spieth could not find a ball flight that could suit him. He's going to have to do some digging with Cameron McCormick this week to fix the right. Brooks Koepka could not find the ballpark. That's never good when you don't know where you're going to miss it. And he's a guy, and we'll talk about this as the golf season goes on. So much promise, so many people, think so highly of him, yet doesn't seem to have that second gear. And it's the same problem Justin Thomas has had. Can you hit the soft wedge when it's when the situation calls for a soft wedge, when you are so used to going hard, 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 it's something we'll cover. So good on Sergio, battles back from a brutal putting performance early on Saturday to get his first PGA Tour win in 4 years. And Rory McIlroy wins his home event, the event that he now hosts, the Irish Open, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, I believe is the official title. And the Big Four now has another recent winner to go on with Jason Day. That's what happened in the world of golf. Now we have the rest of our interview with Luke Kamara.
This is Teeing It Up. This is our friend and colleague and friend and the voice of the Daytona Tortugas and the guy who does 4,000 things for them and for Stetson Athletics, Mr. Luke Morrow. Hello, sir.
Good evening.
This is a very important week, obviously, for minor league baseball because it's a holiday week, it's a holiday weekend. I'm sure you got a lot of stuff planned, but the first thing I have to ask you about is not that, it's Frank Vogel, the Magic, your beloved Orlando Magic, who have fallen on hard times since that run towards the finals a couple of years ago. Is this the step? Is Frank Vogel the next step in getting you back to the promised land?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, we know of his success in Indiana with the Pacers. You know, in all of sports, it's always new coaching hires typically are just retreads. But in this case, I like the hiring of Vogel because of the success he had in Indiana. And we'll see if that can translate over now. It's an interesting situation because, you know, Scott Skiles steps down after less than a year after taking the job. And he said all the right things in his exit press conference and said all great things about the Magic organization. But it seems very peculiar to me that someone would take a job within a year would step away like that and not cite, at least from what I've seen, the normal answers, you know, like spending more time with family, you don't have the energy, yada, yada, nothing like that, really giving an indication to why he stepped away from what I saw, at least. But, you know, the Vogel hire is good because it stays in that same line of defensive-minded coaches, which is what this organization, this team needs. And Skiles, as a defensive coach, improved the team by 10 wins last year, which is a big step. And now I think Vogel can do an even better job because I think he's an even better coach.
You touched on it there. What the heck happened? He, in January, decided that he didn't want to return as coach of this team. Wouldn't you prefer to make a change in January and not now? What the heck happened here?
Yeah, very odd. It's almost as if, you know, he got himself into a situation that he didn't quite fully understand what it would be like when he entered. But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because he's been a coach for, you know, multiple years for different organizations, which would then lead me to there was some sort of clash in the front office between him and the members of the Magic. And I haven't followed this all that closely since the news originally broke, but from everything that I saw, A, he didn't allude to anything like that, saying all great things about the organization, and B, I haven't seen any reports from, you know, unnamed sources or whatever saying that there was that clash, which may be the case. So it was a very interesting situation where something could dissolve so quickly like that after the excitement surrounded the hire originally, like I said, less than a year ago. And he had a pretty successful year. I mean, overall, it's still a rebuilding phase. So the record at the end of the season may not be what Magic fans would like to see, but like I said, it was an improvement of 10 games, which is pretty hard to do from year to year. So it was a step in the right direction to have him step away after a pretty successful year. It was very interesting, but like I said, maybe a blessing in disguise because I wasn't the biggest fan of the Skiles hire to begin with, and I do like Vogel, and I think he could be an even better fit in Orlando.
One of my favorite things to do when Luke is on the show is to hopscotch and try to throw Luke off his game. E-League, which is a new esports league, debuts on TBS on May 27th, which is this coming Friday. If you had all the time in the world, if there were no work obligations that blocked you from watching something that airs in prime time, would you watch E-League sports on TBS?
Only if I had literally all the time in the world. I would check it out just to see what it was like, just to try to get an understanding of it, and even just from like the broadcasting standpoint, how they're going to broadcast something like that. on TV. But after about maybe 5-10 minutes, I'm sure I would get sick of it and never watch it again. It sounds very interesting. I'm shocked that something like this is going to be put on TV, but that seems to be the modern world we live in.
Let me ask you two related questions. I forget what the game is, but I believe it's one of the League of Legends type war fighting games. If it was Madden, would you change your mind?
I would certainly be more interested and probably stick around a little longer. But I think, if I remember correctly, I think ESPN used to broadcast, I mean, maybe not to this degree, guys playing Madden as well or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, I believe that is now on the NFL Network because they need something to put there. So, yeah.
Because even when my friends play, it's boring to me to watch someone play Madden unless I'm playing. So that would probably hold my interest a little longer. But even if it was Madden or a sports game, something that I typically would have more interest in, I don't think I'd be watching that very often.
Let me ask you this. Let's flip this around. Gronk. A, thoughts on Gronk on the cover, and B, is Gronk the greatest human being ever on the face of the earth?
I don't buy into all the nonsense off the field. I know everyone loves Gronk, and he seems like this cool guy. And
he got the cover of GQ with an SI swimsuit model and Madden in the same week. I mean, that's an insane week for a human being.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, but I don't know. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I've never been big into like Madden covers like some people are. So I mean, I guess it's cool. It's deserving, maybe more so a couple of years ago than now for Gronk. And he's obviously an excellent football player when he's on the field. But I mean, I don't know. Madden cover, GQ cover, good for him, I guess. Doesn't really affect me.
Who is the greatest human being in your eyes? If it's not Gronk, who is at the Gronk level of success?
Oh, man. That is an excellent question.
Is it Jackie Bradley Jr. right now with his hitting streak? I mean, who's up there?
It could be. I'll tell you what. In Boston, which obviously both those guys play in, right now I am putting JBJ ahead of Gronk.
Oh.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Call me biased, but JBJ is number one right now.
If you had a day with Scott Skiles, Frank Vogel, Gronk, or Jackie Bradley Jr., who are you spending it with?
Oh, no doubt Jackie Bradley Jr. Skiles would be last on the list, although I don't know. He seems to have more like personality than Vogel. Vogel, to me, seems kind of dry. Gronk, obviously, would be a lot of fun to hang out with, but still, I have to go with JBJ.
As you know, golf returns to the Olympics this year. You'll be able to see every moment, first shot to last shot, live on Golf Channel. That debuts August 11th. The Olympics, obviously, are, you know, somewhere around 85 days away. If you had all the time in the world, would you try to watch as many Olympic events as you watch as possible, using as many screens as possible to see as many amazing moments, all hosted by Bob Costas from Rio?
You know, I don't know if I'd go all in like that with all the multiple screens, but I would try to view it as much as I could. You know, I've never really been too big into the Olympics, which I feel bad saying because I almost feel like unpatriotic, you know, saying and feeling that way. But I've never really cared much for the Olympics. In the summer, I love, basketball. In the winter, hockey, I'll watch even more so than any NHL, and also I love curling. So there was one year I was really big into the Winter Olympics. That must have been 2010, I think, or 2009, somewhere around there, whenever the Winter Olympics was. And but otherwise, you know, even when I do have the time, I don't watch very much of it, and I feel bad. But now that golf's being added, I'll have a little more interest in that, actually, more so than the PGA Tour, because it is the Olympics. So I'll try to check out as much as I can, but it still probably will be minimal.
That was one of the bigger ouches you've ever given me. Jeez, that hurts. That stings. That's a big
well,
one.
As you know, I'm not the hugest golf viewer.
Really?
Fan. I watch the I watch the Masters at least on Sunday, and that may be it. But you know, when it's the Olympics, that adds even more for me because it is the Olympics and it's our country competing with the world. So, you know, I'll be prone to watch that probably more than any other event for golf throughout the year, I suppose.
Do the Daytona Tortugas have a big 4th of July event planned?
Yeah, you know, the Florida State League, they give every team in the league either a home game on the 3rd or the 4th. And I think we're home the 3rd this year, which was the case when I was here 2 years ago. So it's always a big night. You know, every sport has their own holiday. For football, Thanksgiving, basketball, the Christmas Day.
Yes.
And baseball, 4th of July, even Memorial Day. So there's a couple big days on the calendar that you kind of circle as not only a baseball team, but I think even a baseball fan. And, you know, I know growing up for me, I always looked forward to the day games on July 4th, watch some baseball with the teams wearing the patriotic jerseys. So we'll have some special hats. I'm not sure about the jerseys yet, but we will have star and stripe hats to wear on July 3rd. Big fireworks show here at the Jack where we play, and we're expecting a big crowd. So it's always a big event, even just for the baseball game itself.
Do you actually circle dates on your calendar?
I don't. I don't even have a calendar. So.
Whoa. You are the head of media relations and broadcasting and about five other departments, and you don't have a calendar?
Well, I mean, I have the game schedule up in my my office, and I have it on my phone, so that's the closest thing. I have a calendar on my phone that I use, but I could use, like, an actual calendar, an event planner or something, so that I would actually know if we're home on July 3rd or 4th.
I have learned so much.
I'm not sure.
I have learned so much in this conversation, and it's only, you know, 11 minutes old. You're a curling fan. I had no idea you were a curling fan. My boss's wife is in a curling league.
Wow. You know, I met someone down here. We have each program, we create a game day program each month,
yeah.
And we have a page with the office staff members that answer questions, and one of the questions was, if you could compete in any Olympic event, what would it be? And I said, curling, because it's always looked like fun and interesting to me. And then someone came up to me after reading that and saying that they belong to a curling club up in Vermont when they used to live up there. So now I know of two people in or have been in curling leagues before.
Look at that. Folks, we are learning stuff with Luke Morrow here on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. So, you know, it's always interesting, and we've talked about this before, that your season ends soon and then it restarts. What is that end date?
Right at Labor Day is the regular season ends.
No. Hold on. Don't you have two regular seasons, or am I thinking of the wrong level?
Oh, yeah. Right, yes. The end of the first half is... It's odd because the way things plan out, we have the All-Star break, which, again, I don't know the exact date. I think it's like the 16th to the 18th of June, so it's coming up.
Right.
But the way the schedule works is that that's not the exact middle point, but we always have to have the All-Star break on a weekend. So after the All-Star break, we'll have one more series, and then that will be the end of the first half. So towards the end of June, it'll be about June 21st, 22nd, somewhere around there.
So, what is the latest on the Daytona Tortugas, and have you, because, you know, you are also manager, hitting coach, and pitching coach, have you been able to impart your knowledge on these guys?
I think so, because the team has started to play better of late. We were shut out yesterday, unfortunately. It was 2-0, but prior to that, we went through our best stretch of the season, having won 5-6, so the team currently is... I think we're back under six games under 500 now after yesterday's loss, fourth place in the division, and something like eight games out of first. But there's still, you know, some time, almost a month here left in the first half. And then the great thing is by the end of June, everyone starts over at 0-0 and you get a fresh start. So it's important to build momentum here at the end of the first half to carry into the second half where you can start off strong and hopefully build a nice lead and get into the playoffs that way. So the team is playing better from the start of the year. We've had a much better May than April, and we're looking forward to even a better second half, hopefully.
We're talking with Luke Morrow on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. Luke, there's a big scandal in sports right now that I want to make you aware of. well, it's not a scandal, but it's something that could revolutionize everything, which is the Atlanta Falcons are going to lower the prices of their food and beverage offerings. So it'll actually be affordable to most Americans. Is this the biggest thing in sports since Gronk?
Yeah, I heard about this. Actually, I think on Boomer and Carton, I think we were talking about it last week, and I think it's great news. I love it because that's the way it should be. It's ridiculous when you go to these ballparks, and, you know, even in our league, because these are all the spring training homes outside of our stadium. Again, call me biased, but I think that we have very reasonable prices here at our home ballpark. But when you go everywhere else, they keep the same prices that they have during spring training, except instead of watching, you know, Alex Rodriguez and the New York Yankees, you're watching the Tampa Yankees, and for a lot of people, guys that they don't even know of, and yet it's still $9 for chicken tenders or whatever it is. So, you know, it's crazy. It's out of control, and I'm happy to hear that the Falcons are doing this because I think it's a smart move, and I think it's the right move, and I hope fellow teams continue in this trend, because like I said, it's even trickled down to the minor leagues now where you can almost get a ticket cheaper than, you know, a cheeseburger at the concession stand, which is just ridiculous.
It is rather ridiculous, and it's something that I think more sports and more teams are going to have to address, especially because you've got a situation where most teams can afford it and can afford lower prices. You know, the financial state of these franchises is not an issue. You know, it's not something that that's not something people are complaining about left and right. I think it's a very important thing and a very fascinating thing. And Augusta National, and as you know, the Falcons said that they were influenced by the Masters. Their prices have been low forever, and it's sensational, and it's part of the lure of the Masters and what makes it so special and so unique. I think that's something we will have to watch going forward. Is there anything I should know about the Minnesota Vikings that will get me interested in their games that has occurred since we last spoke?
Yeah, I don't know that I can do anything to bring you onto the side of the Vikings. I think you were bad-mouthing them all last season, despite the Vikings going on to win the division and really should have won at least a playoff game. So, you know, it's been a good offseason. We've added some good coaches to the coaching staff. I liked our draft for the most part. There's some question marks that I think if things go right can pan out and make it even more exciting. And just in terms of re-signing guys and bringing back almost essentially the same team as we had last year and we did win the division. So it's been a good offseason, and I've been – this is one of the most – you know, even now in May and going back to last month, April, I've been excited and just counting down towards the opening week of the NFL season, not only because of the Sunday sprint, of course, but also because of the start of Vikings football. And I think this is the most excited I've been this early in an offseason, maybe ever with the Vikings.
Isn't that a risk in that – you are setting yourself up for disappointment?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be disappointing. I know there's no way that, just because of who they are, the Vikings, we're not, you know, we're not the Patriots or some of these other great franchises that we can even win multiple divisions. And I know after last year that we probably are going to have a letdown this year and certainly underachieve and probably end up something like 6-10, even though we have the talent of a team that could probably win 12 games. But that's just the way the Vikings are. So I'm excited. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of expecting them to have a lousy year just because that's what the Vikings do. They struggle to follow up success.
It's the same problem the Jets have, which is why I think we've became friends.
We can relate and be depressed together.
We've got Luke Morrow on the radio show. The Thunder have kind of batted around the Warriors a little bit, 2-1 series lead. Now, obviously, last year Memphis had a 2-1 series lead over Golden State. Steve Kerr said, Steph and Andre Iguodala, go play some golf. The whole playoffs changed after that. But this Thunder team, to me, is a lot better. I think they're a really legitimate contender to win it all once they get to the finals against Cleveland. and winning the last year of their window, which is fascinating. What's your take on this Western Conference Finals?
Well, I think you just touched on it. The Thunder themselves are a really good team, and I think just because of how good the Warriors were this year, that everyone immediately wrote off the rest of the Western Conference, including myself. You know, I came on here and said before the playoffs, you know, the Warriors lost, what, 9 games all season. It's hard for me to see them lose 4 games in a week's time or 2 weeks, you know, because they drag out the series. But the Thunder, they're a very good team. They still are from years past. And you have Durant and Westbrook, who, outside of Curry, you know, are two of the best guys in the league. And I think there's probably a better 1-2 punch than even Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So, and that's showing up in this series. And Curry may still not be 100%, which doesn't help the Warriors. But,
yeah,
you know, as great as Golden State has been this year, the Thunder, I think, have just been very underrated because of the success of the Warriors. The Thunder almost won 60 games. They have two of the best players in the world, and they can put the ball in the basket, and they're playing really well. Surprising me, but at the same time, I'm saying, as I you know, watch this, you know, I don't know if I should be that surprised, because the Thunder, to me, are that good of a team that, like you said, could knock off the Warriors, and if they do, could certainly, in my mind, beat the Cavs or Raptors or whoever and win a championship this year.
There are times in life that I have to ask you hard-hitting questions, and this is one of them. I'm sorry that I have to go here, but I do. Which is the better opportunity of happening, Cleveland losing to Toronto or you liking Gronk? Because I put about 0.00% chance that Toronto wins this series.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I guess I'll say Gronk. I really don't, you know, like, I don't like Gronk, but I'm not totally against him where I can't be brought over to the other side of the fence like some other guys or teams that, you know, you can't convert me on. I don't like Gronk. I don't like his whole shtick off the field or whatever, but certain things can change that would propel me to become more in the favor of Gronk, where I agree with you. I don't think the Cavs are going to lose.
Let's see. We got about 2 minutes. Are the Red Sox going to sustain this? Because the Yankees are showing their age and inconsistency. And the Red Sox, Mr. Ortiz is having an insane run in his final season. Can this be sustained?
I've been asking myself that this weekend, because I've been listening to the games on the radio as I get, you know, do my work over here, and it's amazing. I mean, you hear all the stats they reel off, guys like Bogarts, Ortiz, and Brady, Bradley, I should say, who are
Tom.
With the Patriots on the mind.
Tom.
I mean, those three, Bogarts and Bradley, is the top two hitters in the entire league, both on the same team. So, I don't know. I think to a certain degree, I don't know if we'll have guys like Ortiz, Bradley, and Bogarts all hitting up over 330 all year. You know, that's hard to believe. You just handle me up at 320. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they're leading the league in runs, and I think that's something that certainly can be sustained throughout the year and record as a whole, you know, playing good baseball. I think they could certainly continue on this pace and win the division, but I don't know if the offense will be as red hot as it has been the last couple weeks.
It's going to be interesting. We've never, of all these farewells, I mean, think about recent sports farewells. Only Peyton went out on top. Bettis did, Strahan did, but of the guys in like the last 3 or 4 years, I don't think anybody's gone out on top except for Peyton. Now, obviously, Derek Jeter went out on top in an insane way. I mean, he had one of the greatest sports send-offs ever. So did Kobe. But in terms of getting rings on your fingers, I can't think of one recently besides Peyton. So it would be one heck of a send-off for Mr. Poppy if he can keep this up.
Yeah, on an individual level, even if the team doesn't win, but individually, if he keeps this up over the course of the year, then he will go out on top. Everyone's saying because he's playing so well, you know, why retire now? That's exactly it, because you want to go out when you're at your best instead of, you know, batting 200 for back-to-back years and kind of be pushed out the door. So he's having a phenomenal year, and I just hope he can keep it up.
Would you like me to get you a subscription to GQ?
they're done issuing the grant one.
Okay. That's Luke Morrow. He's the voice of the Daytona Tortugas in Stetson basketball and football. Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure
to have
you on the air. We will talk to you soon. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. And if you have any questions involving Olympic golf, I am always here to answer them.
Excellent. I'll be texting you all summer long, then.
You got it. That's Luke Morrow. That's Teeing It Up. Have a great Monday, everybody. Enjoy.